Today on Real Radio.
Did you know that in 1941, in the 77th Congress, permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as the national holiday, declaring, and I quote, "Let us celebrate the Thanksgiving observance, remembering to retain the original gratefulness to God that has always been the spirit of this, the oldest of all American holidays." And there's people out there that want to take it away from you. Why? It's absolutely Christian.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation that focuses on the all-important holiday we're celebrating this week. What is Thanksgiving? Is it indigenously American? Is it of Judeo-Christian origin? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Americans Remember.
I don't need to belabor this, but in times of national disobedience, there were prayer meetings that broke out across this nation. True believers didn't stand up and condemn the insanity of Haight-Ashbury and San Francisco and Oakland and the things that were going on there. And then remember, visited us right here in Laguna Beach. Do you guys remember that? The insanity of that time. Hippies stoned out, drunk, wiped out, pregnant, sex, naked, you name it. Do you remember that? Have you forgotten? And people went to pray. Prayer meetings began to break open and break out. And guess what happened? The Jesus movement was sent by God to America. And it happened right in Huntington Beach, California. When a lady who saw these hippies stoned out of their minds in a time of national disobedience as America walked away from God and declared that God was dead. Remember that? Some lady began to weep over these hippies. She told her husband, "We've got to do something about this." Quite frankly, he said, "Who wants anything to do with them?" That's the true story. And she said, "Something's got to be done." Well, he went to work. He was the pastor of a church that nobody had heard of. He went to work, and she went down to the beach. And she opened up the door to her car and told the hippies to get on in. And she drove them home and set up beds and pillows and blankets and bathtubs and rooms and washrooms of every place they could find in the house. And then the pastor husband came home from work, looked around and saw a bunch of hippie bums in his house. And God touched his heart and the Jesus movement began. That was Kay Smith, wife of Pastor Chuck Smith. God gave her that vision. And Chuck caught on. Good thing for him, huh? And that news was broadcast literally around the world that God was saving hippies. In times of national disobedience, God's people prayed and God listened. Fourthly, what Americans remember is the Word of God. Our nation from its beginning brought out the Bible in court, and you were to put your hand on the Bible and to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And now we have people who I refuse to put my hand on the Bible. Their personal persuasions more important than not only tradition, but even morality itself. How do we know if the person's going to tell the truth or not? Do you realize that it ought to put in a normal society a little bit of tinge of fear if you put your hand on a Bible? Look, I got a test for you. Take your Bible today after service. Go out to a restaurant. Set it on your table. Just set it right there. Right there. Right in front. And the waitress will come up and say, they may not say anything, but they'll look at it. Is that a Bible there? The Bible, people know this is God's Word. When you put your hand on the Bible and you're going to swear before a judge and before a jury to tell the truth, you would think even the atheist would stand up straighter with a little bit of respect, though he may not believe in it. Those days are gone. It's very sad. First, we look at the Bible in American government. The Bible in American government. At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, James Madison proposed the plan to divide the central government into three branches. His discovery was based upon the model of, in Jefferson and Madison's words, listen, a government from the perfect governor. As Madison read Isaiah 33:22, quote, from the Bible, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." And that was the foundation, a basis of our three-branched type of government. From the Bible. What influence does the Bible have in American government? Have you been to the Supreme Court? Has anybody been to the Supreme Court? Raise your hands. Okay. How many of you have been to Hawaii? Raise your hands. How many of you have been to Europe? Raise your hand. Now, how many of you have been to the Supreme Court? Raise your hand. That's pathetic. Bit of advice. Forget Europe. Forget Hawaii. Next trip, go to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. Why? Just for the shock factor. When you walk in, it's not very big, by the way. When you walk in, over the Supreme Court Chief Justice's head, this is a true story, hang on to your seats, is a lawgiver seated upon a throne, and he's got two tablets labeled 1 through 10 in Roman numerals, like this, he's holding them. Then all the way around the building at the top, inside the Supreme Court, are lawgivers of the world. Okay? But the chief lawgiver is holding two tablets, Roman numerals 1 through 10. I said, excuse me, because you know a lawyer takes you on your tour. Excuse me, yes. Who's that holding the tablets right there? Because he started to mention Hammurabi and all these various lawgivers throughout antiquity. Excuse me, who's the one holding the tablets there on the throne, the big guy right front and center? True statement. He goes like this. I'll get you an answer before this tour is over. He was an attorney, because they're all attorneys in school or practicing or internships that take you on the tour. That made me sick to my stomach that he couldn't recognize Moses, even with a hint of two tablets labeled 1 through 10. But you know, maybe he's a byproduct of our school system. Our atheistic, godless, immoral school system. Unbelievable. In 1812, President Madison signed the federal bill which economically aided the Bible Society of Philadelphia in its goal to mass distribute the Bible. Quote, "An act for the relief of the Bible Society of Philadelphia is approved February 2nd, 1839 by this Congress." Can you imagine that happening today? Robert Payne, signer of the Declaration of Independence, I quote, "I desire to bless and praise the name of God Most High for appointing me, my birth, in a land of the gospel of light." Well, this is a fiery guy, huh? "Where the glorious tidings of our Savior and a pardon and salvation through him have been continually sounded in my ears." That was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. James Madison said, quote, "We've staked our future on our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all of our hearts," close quote. He went on, "We have staked the future of American civilization, not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions," all our political institutions, "upon our capacity to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God, 1778 in the General Assembly of the State of Virginia, James Madison." You guys, you want to see why history doesn't want to be taught by people anymore? Because they have to confront this stuff. And if they confront this stuff, it's overwhelming that this is a Christian nation. The Bible in American Schools, Benjamin Rush. Read everything you can about Benjamin Rush. He is quickly becoming a hero. I mean, he's right there with, I love Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Rush. It's all about the Benjamins, I guess. But the Benjamins are up there. Of course, Washington, he's just top. He's a remarkable guy. Buy the book, read it. It's a tough read, but it's a good read. 1776 by David McCullough. Read it. Great book. Benjamin Rush said, I quote, regarding American schools, I lament that we waste so much time and money in punishing crimes and take so little pains to prevent them. We neglect the only means of establishing and perpetuating our republican forms of government. That is, the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity by means of the Bible. For this divine book, above all others, constitutes the soul of republicanism. By withholding the knowledge of the scriptures from children, we deprive ourselves of the best means of awakening moral sensibility in their minds. This was a letter written in 1790 in the defense of the Bible in all public schools of America. He goes on, Christianity is the only true perfect religion. If moral precepts also could have reformed mankind, the mission of the Son of God into the world would not have been necessary. Benjamin Franklin. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
You're so quiet. I hope it's because you're tuning in. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
In Benjamin Franklin's words in 1749, quote, plant the plan of education for public schools in Pennsylvania. He insisted that schools teach, quoting him, the excellency of the Christian religion above all others, ancient and or modern. In 1787, Benjamin Franklin, in the founding of Benjamin Franklin University, it was dedicated as, quote, Benjamin Franklin declared, a nursery of religion and learning built on Christ, the cornerstone of this university. Who said that? Benjamin Franklin. I thought he didn't believe in God. Why are you thinking that? Stop listening to your professors and teachers and read the guys in their own words. Take the time to read them. Benjamin Rush again. Patriot and signer of the Declaration of Independence, quote, my only hope for salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of his Son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Benjamin Rush. Yeah, amen. Oh, this is a little side note. Did you know that the United States Capitol building, you guys all know that Capitol building on your money? Did you know that was the... On Sundays, it became the largest church in America for 18 years. Did you know that? What about a separation of church and state? There was no such thing as a separation of church and state. By the way, that statement was made by Thomas Jefferson to his friend, who's the pastor of the Danbury Baptist Church in Connecticut. The pastor said, remember, you guys, when you get all this stuff going, we don't want to become like England, where the king told the church what to do. And Jefferson said to a private letter, it's not even a federal document, Jefferson said, don't worry about it. I promise you, there will be a separation of church and state. The state's not going to interfere with what the church does. But CNN and all kinds of nuts have turned that completely around. Next time somebody cites on, well, you know, the separation of church and state, well, ask them, show me that, will you? Ask them, where does that appear? A lot of people will ignorantly say, First Amendment. You know what? You can get pocket versions of the Constitution and the amendment. Pull it out, have them read it. Read the First Amendment. Congress shall not enact or adopt, take on a law that either exalts a certain religion. That's the protection against what England did, or inhibit or keep the exercise thereof of religion. The government was just going to stay away from it. But you don't hear that on modern news services. The culture. Thomas Jefferson said regarding the American culture, the doctrines of Jesus are simple and to tend to all the happiness of men. Jefferson continues, of all the systems of morality, ancient and modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus himself. Jefferson continued, I am a real Christian. That is to say, I am a disciple of the doctrines of Christ. Thomas Jefferson. You see these images up here? I took those by myself with my own camera. What do they say? God who gave us life gave us liberty. He goes on. Next slide. Almighty God hath created the mind free. Next pillar to the right. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Thomas Jefferson. That's in our nation's capital. It shaped our culture. Jefferson writes, God who gave us life gave us liberty, and can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed from their firm basis a conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are a gift from God, that they are not to be violated with, listen, not to be violated, but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Thomas Jefferson, 1781. We're having a little church service at Vaughn's Market yesterday. Lisa declared, let's go shopping for Thanksgiving. So she picks it and I put it in the cart and push it. And I'm pushing it along and meeting one after another from this church. And it was just so much fun. Happy Thanksgiving! Church, I'm encouraging you from this day on, when you leave this building today, let's just take it up about 10 decibels. I want you to start walking around this community, and even though Lowe's hardware doesn't know what to do about it, they can't make up their mind about it, you tell the people at Lowe's, Merry Christmas! You go out this week and tell people, Happy Thanksgiving! God bless those pilgrims! Weren't they a wonderful group of people? You guys, go for it. Do it while you're able. Do it while you can. Announce the truth. Watch what happens. People will come up and say, thanks for saying that, you know? People ought to say that more often. Get out there with it. Very quickly, America, unique among the nations. God has blessed her. The longest lasting free constitutional government society in the history of mankind. Did you know that? Our Constitution is the longest lasting Constitution in world history. A nation not afraid to have honored the Lord in the days of our past. The most powerful nation. Thank God, America, and it was a democracy. It would have been a whole other story if the most powerful nation on the planet would have been Russia or Germany. Isn't it wonderful of God's blessings to have made the most powerful nation on the planet a democracy? Unique among the nations, America's arms has always been opened wide. And I don't want to go off on this topic because, brother, I could argue this one hook, line, and sinker. That Statue of Liberty, she stands out there. Give me your huddled masses. That's the spirit of America. It's attorneys and politicians rather than statesmen. We need statesmen today, but we've got politicians who are attorneys who mess everything up and take the very will of this nation and make it some convoluted problem. God gives laws to the governments of man. Those laws need to be enforced. But when we let those laws go and do things that's right in our own eyes, we have anarchy brewing. The descendants of my family came legally, but they came. Let everyone come. This is America. Let them come. But legally, we have to have laws. Get in line. Some of you are sitting here, you've been in line for 11 years, but you're in line, you applied, you're still waiting. Her arms are open wide. No other country in the world. You know what? We're pretty messed up as a nation, but people are still trying to break into this place. Go find some other country in the world where people are trying to break into it. God bless this country. Prospered this country. Secondly, God prospered this nation beyond comprehension. In agriculture, and now those days are waning, by the way. Go find that out. America's agricultural production is falling, and it is terrifying. Did you know America? You know we're in a crisis over bees? Are you aware of that? Our bees are dying, and they don't know why. Did you know in the Southern California desert, there's an infestation of locusts that have never been seen before? We need to turn back to God. Industry, we were the leader. Natural resources, we were the leader. And then finally, because of time, I end with this. America, generous like no other country. And I want to talk about God's generosity to us. In your bulletin, you have George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation. You say, I thought Abraham Lincoln wrote the proclamation. Abraham Lincoln, among many presidents, wrote a proclamation. We included in your, you do have it, don't you? That is the original proclamation. Congress asked George Washington, will you make a proclamation about Thanksgiving to honor the pilgrims? Did you know that the First Continental Congress appointed the day of Thanksgiving and praise so that, and I'm quoting, so that the people may express their grateful feelings to of their hearts and join in prayers that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins and to enlarge his kingdom, which consists of righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Close quote. Continental Congress, 1777, signed by Samuel Adams and Richard Henry Lee. Secondly, did you know? I, Thomas Jefferson, appoint a day of public thanksgiving to the Almighty God and to ask him that he would pour out his Holy Spirit, I love this part, on all the ministers of the gospel, that he would spread the light of Christian knowledge throughout the remotest corners of the earth, and that he would establish these United States upon the basis of religion and virtue, signed Thomas Jefferson, 1779. Did you know that? I appoint this day of public thanksgiving and praise rendered to God and tribute of praise of his unmerited goodness towards us by giving to us the Holy Scriptures, which are able to enlighten and make us wise to eternal salvation, and to pray that he would forgive our sins and cause the religion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be made known, understand, and practiced among the people of the earth. Signed, John Hancock, 1790. Did you know that I, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, do set aside and appoint Thursday, the 13th day of November 1933, to be a day of thanksgiving for all people? May we on that day in our churches, I can't believe he said that, it's amazing, and in our homes give humble thanks for the blessings bestowed upon us during the year passed by Almighty God. Did you know? I therefore recommend that on Thursday, November 30th, day of November next, the people meet in their respective places of worship and there make the usual acknowledgments to Almighty God. It was normal back then. For the blessings he has conferred upon us, for the merciful exemption from evil, and invoke his protection and kindness. President Ulysses S. Grant, finally this, did you know that in 1941, in the 77th Congress, permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as the national holiday, declaring, and I quote, let us celebrate the Thanksgiving observance, remembering to retain the original gratefulness to God that has always been the spirit of this, the oldest of all American holidays. And there's people out there that want to take it away from you. Why? It's absolutely Christian. And I want to know from you if it's worth fighting for. I pray that it is.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called What Americans Remember, a look at the true meaning and historicity of the holiday we're celebrating this week. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. Now, there's more than one way to get in touch with us. First of all, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.